Hey everybody, just a little reminder, this is the second part of Steve Johnson's podcast. The first part of it was played on Sunday night. I hope you enjoy this.
2 years prior to that, I was thinking about hanging up the skates and how I stuck with it, and we talked about finishing what you started and trying to get that opportunity and waiting around for that opportunity, and it worked out.
It's How I Got Here. The stories behind the youth, high school, college, and professional sports journey, where it leads, and what we learn along the way. I'm Corey Koski, and on today's show, we continue the story about the Minnetonka kid whose persistence and hard work gets him drafted in the fourth round in a Division I scholarship. In the last episode, Steve Johnson talked about what he did to get himself noticed by Division I schools. Now he gets himself noticed to some big-time schools. His hard work is about to pay off. Steve talks about what it is like going through the recruitment process and then not playing as a freshman. Nothing comes easy, and it is hard to be good. Listen as Steve shows maturity well beyond his years and works his butt off to be an everyday defenseman for the University of Minnesota Gophers.
And that's when University of Minnesota showed up on the radar, and they came to one of my games to talk to me afterwards and said, "Hey, like, we're really interested in you. Like, you're a pretty good player," kind of a thing, and we'll go from there. And I was like, "Okay, that's cool." And so, meanwhile, I'm on the phone probably every night, you know, for an hour or two, talking with different schools and trying to figure out where I want to visit and stuff like that. And some schools want to rush you right away, and some schools say, "Take your time." So it's kind of a game in that regard.
So what do you mean by that?
Some schools want your decision within a week or two. Some schools want you to visit first, and then they want it within 3 days. And I think part of the reason their process of doing that is trying to, okay, if I don't say yes, then they kind of put you on the spot, and they want you to commit right away, and then they gotcha. And once they gotcha, right? But anyway, so then that whole time I was trying to decide with schools, I went to my visit with the University of Minnesota, and growing up in Minnesota, it's a big hockey state, and I always watched the Gophers growing up. My dad took me to games. I still have a hat signed by the whole team back in like 2003 when they won the national championship. So I was a huge Gopher fan. I watched all their games. And so when they came crawling around the corner, I said, okay, this is great, but they're a really big-time program, and I don't know how much scholarship, if any, they're going to give me. And so I went and I sat in Don Lucia's office, and he said, hey, you know, we're giving you a full scholarship, which was I was pretty taken back by, and I wasn't really expecting it. So when they said, we'll give you a full scholarship kind of thing, I was pretty sold on that. I knew it was going to be a very competitive nature there. They kind of have their pick of the crop, the cream of the crop in terms of players. They can pick whoever they want for the most part. So I knew it was going to be competitive, but I knew, like, University of Minnesota is where I wanted to be. That's where I grew up. It's close to my house. They have great tradition. They talk about their pride on ice. And the school aspect was great, too. There's a bigger school, great academics, and stuff like that. So I ended up committing to the University of Minnesota in October of my Omaha year.
So what does a full scholarship mean?
A full scholarship is, like, everything's paid for, books, tuition.
How do you eat?
Everything like that. So at the University of Minnesota, when the season rolls around, we have breakfast every Monday, Wednesdays at the dorms. And then every day after practice, we get food that's catered in from around the Minneapolis, St. Paul area. So you get fed there, and you can take to-go boxes, which we usually did as well. Lunch is kind of on your own. We get some snacks and stuff at the rink and whatnot. They feed you pretty well and stuff like that.
Because you hear this concept of full scholarship all the time, can you go to university for free? Because there's a perception out there where you get a full scholarship, it's free. Or is there's still money out of your pocket where your parents still have to pay for stuff?
Yeah, so like some, I think the schools are allotted like 18 full scholarships. So what they can do in the NCAA, is split scholarship, and you have like 28 players on a team. So you can give 18 guys full scholarships, or you can give, 12 guys full scholarship and then divide up the six, so you can have like 50%. I was a full scholarship guy, but basically it's full scholarship the tuition's all paid for, books are paid for, which can really pricey in college. And then obviously you have to pay for, what happens is every month you get a check from the compliance office basically, and it's for, every school is different, but I think I got a check for about $900 every month. Rent at the University of Minnesota is not cheap. It's like you probably spend $700, $750, maybe even $800 with parking every month. So you have about $100 left over, and that can be for whatever you want, food or stuff like that.
Cool. All right. So how old were you when you went to do the international tournament?
Yeah, so right after I committed to the University of Minnesota, which is October 9th, my first year in Omaha, a month later, my coach took me aside, congratulations, you've been selected for the Team USA World Junior A Challenge, which is in Nova Scotia. And I said, what? And he said, yeah, you've been selected. I said, well, what's this? I had no idea what it even was. I never even heard of it, anything like that. And so he started laughing at me, actually, and he kind of broke it down and told me what it was. And basically it's a group of players from the USHL that they pick, 20 guys, to represent the United States in Nova Scotia. And you play, like, I think there's Russia, Czechoslovakia, other countries that were there. And so I was like, wow, this is great. Yeah. So I was like, wow, this is fantastic. Like, what a great opportunity. I've never represented my country ever before, and so I'm really excited to go. And so we get there. We were there for about 2.5 weeks. It was awesome. It was a great experience. Let's see. We played 3 games in kind of a round robin, and we won all 3 of those games. And then we started playing tournament play, and we won all 3 of those games as well. So we ended up winning the gold medal. And my dad, like I said, he's a pilot, so he was able to fly out there quick and watch the gold medal match. And so he was there, and it was a really cool experience to treasure with him being there and to win a gold and to, represent my country is something that I've never done, and that was my first time ever, and I haven't done it since, and it was just a phenomenal experience.
So that gold medal game, what was it like going into that game?
It was pretty – so the game was in the afternoon, actually. It was like a 2:30 game. And we were feeling pretty confident, we having a loss, but we were playing Russia, and I believe it was Russia. And growing up, I watched the movie Miracle all the time, right? And you see how it was USA versus Russia, and it was like all like the heated moments, and they were the powerhouse, and how USA came back and won, and all that stuff. So that was actually going through my mind during the game, before the game, even after the game. And so I was pumped up and ready to go. It got chippy. Game got pretty chippy. It was physical, a lot of hits. But we bared down, and we knew that, if we played well, like sound defensively, that we'd win that game. And I think they actually ended up scoring first and got the lead, but we came back. And funny story, because I was literally, the only thing that I was kind of thinking about was the Miracle on Ice, the movie, with Herb Brooks and everything like that. And I was like, USA versus Russia, like, this is it. Like, I kind of, compared it to us, which was nowhere near that stage, but kind of similar to it. And so that was going through my mind for most of it.
I'm the former major leaguer that got this crazy idea of using sports stories to hopefully encourage youth and high school athletes and their parents as they are on their journey. Since retiring, I have coached over 85 youth sports teams over the last 12 years, and I have seen our world change. Our kids and their parents are more insecure than ever. We are comparing others' best presentation of themselves against how we view ourselves. We are comparing our real life to another's highlight reel. This is not fair. Real life is full of adversity. You will see in all our stories, we are all going to get knocked down. The successful people get back up and dust themselves off and continue to move forward. There is so much good that can come out of adversity if we allow it. As my mom said, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. We are looking for sponsors to help us on our mission of connecting youth sports for good. If you'd like to sponsor our podcast, you can email me at corey.koski@linklead.com. That's corey.koski@linklead.com. With the right partners, we can connect youth sports for good and change this world. Welcome back to How I Got Here from Linklead. I'm Corey Koski. Steve Johnson got a full ride scholarship to the University of Minnesota. All his hard work and tenacity has paid off. He's coming off of a great junior year, is a key player for the gold medal win at the World Junior A Championships. Now, he should just roll into a great college career. The rest should be easy, right? Well, it is not. He has some of his toughest challenges ahead.
So I finished out that year in Omaha, came back. Actually, that summer, before I went to the University of Minnesota, I was drafted by the Los Angeles Kings in the fourth round of the NHL draft, which was a very cool experience. I wasn't sure if I was going to get drafted or not. Some NHL teams contacted me. I met with a couple, and wasn't sure if I was going to get drafted or not. A lot of the things online that my sisters were sending me didn't even have my name on it. Like, it wasn't even. But then some people were saying that, yes, you are going to get drafted. But everything that I saw, my name wasn't on it. So I was like, oh, I don't really know.
So I'm going to back up here. So your sisters were your agents? They were checking the stuff out for you?
Oh, they were checking. They had every website that has projections and all that stuff down. And they were sending me links and all that stuff. And so,
how were your parents during that time?
They didn't really say much. I mean, they're very supportive. They don't try to get into it very much unless I tell them what's going on. But I also didn't really want to tell them what was going on because I didn't really know what was going on. And I don't want to say, hey, I might get drafted and not get drafted. I kind of just didn't want to get my hopes up. And so I just kind of kept it in the back of my head. Obviously, I was thinking about it for sure, but I just kind of kept it in the back of my head and whatnot. And but my sisters obviously were all over it. Yeah.
You got drafted. So yep. What was that like? Like what was your process kind of going through that?
Yeah. So the first round of the draft's a Friday night, and obviously I knew I wasn't going to get drafted in the first round. The second through the seventh rounds were Saturday. And to be honest with you, I thought it was Saturday night. Mm-hmm. But apparently it started Saturday, like 11 a.m. And so that Friday night I was out with a couple buddies and got back late. So I think I slept until about 11:30, and I woke up, and almost within 3 minutes of waking up, my phone just started buzzing, and it was my coach from Omaha, and I was like, what's going on here? Because I thought the draft was later that night, and I was like, why could he ever be calling me? So he called me, and I had the raspy voice from waking up, and he said, congratulations. I was like, what? And he's like, are you sleeping? Yeah. I was like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, well, you just got drafted by Los Angeles Kings. Congratulations, kind of a thing. And immediately when I got that call, I was talking to him for about 30 seconds, and Los Angeles called me right after that because he ended up being at the draft. And so when Los Angeles called me, I was like, I don't know what this number is. It's got to be L.A., so I got to go coach kind of thing. So then they called me and said, congratulations, we selected you, blah, blah, blah. And so that was a really cool experience. So I like woke up, I got out of bed, and I told my parents, and they were stoked and they were super excited. And my phone just went off the wall. It was just lighting up, and I said, oh, I don't know if I can take this anymore. So I put my headphones in and I went for a mile and a half run and just kind of got away from it and just by myself. And throughout that run, I remember it going by like a breeze, and I wasn't even huffing and puffing. I was just all adrenaline. I was really excited, and it was a really cool experience. And I just kind of went through and just thought about how 2 years prior to that, I was thinking about hanging up the skates and how I stuck with it. And we talked about finishing what you started and trying to get that opportunity and waiting around for that opportunity, and it worked out.
Did you guys go for dinner that night?
We did. We went for dinner that night. I think we got some steaks that
night.
Where'd you go? I can't remember. I think it was maybe J.D. Hoyt's.
Okay.
I think in a restaurant in Minneapolis. So
you get drafted. You have the excitement about the draft.
now what? Do they offer you? What comes next?
Yeah, so the way it works with guys who play college hockey, so I was going to my freshman year when I got drafted. The way it works with college hockey is if they offer you, you have to decide whether to stay in college and pursue that, or if you sign, you can't play college hockey anymore. You lose your amateurism, basically, is what it is. And the NCAA is pretty big on that. So I went to their development camps every summer. And whatnot throughout my college career. They did not offer me. Nope. And so my freshman year of college was tough. We had nine drafted defensemen on our roster. And, like, so every defenseman that was there, which I am, were drafted. And so it was really tough, very competitive. We had, I think, on that team, three guys are in the NHL right now, and some guys are still playing pro. But so it was basically, it was just very competitive. I only played in 11 games. So talk about a kind of a whirlwind situation. There's like 35 games in college hockey. I only played in 11, and it was very frustrating year hockey wise. That kind of brought me back to when I was on JV in high school, and it was one of those things where guys on my own team would say, "Hey, keep your head up. You know, you're doing really well. You should be playing."
That doesn't help.
It doesn't help. It doesn't help at all. And the coach, you don't really talk to the coaching staff really. They're kind of dialed in on what they do. They necessarily wouldn't talk to the players very much, and so you kind of keep your head in it. But you know, you got guys telling you should play and stuff like that. So that's kind of like your motivation. Like, okay, I can play, and I felt great on the ice. When I did play, I played really well too. So that was made it even more frustrating, because if you're not going to play well, then you kind of understand why you're not playing. But I was playing well when I played. So it brought me back to my JV days, kind of. And I just stuck with it. And it was a numbers game too. You know, my sophomore, junior, and senior year of college, I, you know, got more and more minutes every single year, and I progressed, and I got to be in every single situation, and, you know, got more and more comfortable and stuff along those lines.
So there's one thing to go through it from a high school level when you've never really had any sort of recognition, mm-hmm. where other people are telling you how good you are. So it's one thing to go from a high school level. Now you're dealing with it. So, you know, you go with the NA, the USA. Now you win a gold medal, and you've had recognition. So you start to feel pretty good about yourself. Mm-hmm. And now you go to your first year of university. I still want to say, like, how do you? Because now you're like, okay, I'm pretty good. I got drafted.
Yeah.
And now I'm like,
yeah.
Now I'm not playing. Like, dude, come on.
It was way tougher to go through that than it was when I was in JV. Basically, because what you said, I got recognized. I knew I was good. I believed in myself even more. I could see myself, you know, being out there. I played there at the in college and stuff, and I felt great on the ice. And to be honest with you, I'd call my dad. I remember I was just sitting in my dorm, and I called my dad, and I'd say, like, you know, I would just kind of rant to him, because he's the only guy that I could really rant to. And I'd call him, and I'd use a lot of swear words and F this, F that. And, you know, I was in it was a pretty tough situation hockey-wise. And
so what'd your dad say?
My dad said, hey, like I said, they're very supportive. And he kind of said, hey, like, I completely agree with you. Like, I'm not just agreeing with you because you're my son, but I'm agreeing with you because, you know, people talk, and I know, like, and he's been around hockey now for a while, and he's seen, you know, and he agrees with me, basically. And he said, but what you can do is, like I said, you can go to practice and go through the motions and pout and be down and not be a team guy. Remember, hockey's a team sport. And, you know, just pout and just be a Debbie Downer and stuff. Or you can do two things, effort and attitude. If you have good effort and you have a good attitude, you're going to go places. And so those are the two main things that I focused on throughout that whole year, my effort and my attitude. Sometimes I was frustrated and pissed and just, I didn't even want to be there and stuff like that, but I would have a good attitude about it, and I wouldn't show it, at least. I would maybe even put on a fake face and make sure my attitude was good. Hockey's a team sport. You have to be a team player. You have to push your other teammates to become better so the overall team can be better and, you know, achieve their goals. And then my effort was, one thing that you can control, right? You can control those two things and kind of control what you can control. So I might control my effort, and I showed up to practice early. I got work in early. I stayed late on the ice. I did. I worked out more than the team would. I would stay late at workouts. I'd show up early to workouts. I would do extra stuff. I'd make sure I'd, you know, get enough sleep, making sure I was ready to go there, making sure my academics were all set on where they were they needed to be. Got my stuff done early, and so I could get out on the ice earlier. So I was doing everything that I could to not only show my teammates but also show my coaches that, hey, like, I mean business, I'm ready to go, and stuff like that. The other thing that was really tough for me was my confidence. I just got drafted. I had a great year. I just won a gold medal, and now I'm not playing college hockey. You know, I only played 11 games. And in hockey, confidence, and you could attest this in the MLB too, confidence is a huge thing. You know, when you're up at the plate, you got to be confident, otherwise you're not going to swing. But, and so I almost had to fake my confidence. And, you know, that just comes from, hey, I kept telling myself, hey, I've been playing this game for 15, 18 years. Like, I know how to play this game kind of thing. And I sometimes would fake my confidence and stuff like that. And so,
well, it's not only that. It's how do you, like, you're playing well. It's like, what else do I need to do? Like, yeah. What am I doing wrong? Like, am I doing something wrong? And if nobody's telling you what you're doing,
yeah,
then you're, like, afraid to make a mistake because you're not playing. You don't know why you're not playing.
That was the biggest thing. The biggest lesson that I learned this year, or that year, was I almost started playing so I would play perfect and I wouldn't make a mistake so that I would be in the next night. And that's the one of the biggest things that I learned was I can't play, like, afraid to make a mistake. I can't be going out there every single shift afraid to make a mistake, you know, doing the things that, you know, I need to be aggressive, I need to be confident. That's my game. Like, that's where I took off. That's why I'm here. That's why the new University of Minnesota noticed me. That's why they recruited me. You know, that's why I got drafted. All these things. I needed to stick with that game.
Thanks for listening to the show this week. What I learned from today's podcast, effort and attitude is all you can control. You can't control the situation, you can't control what the coaches think, but you can control your effort and your attitude. Steve took a tough situation and made the best of it. He used it and got better. That is something that we could all apply, especially in youth sports. Make sure to check out the website, www.linkleet.com, for more stories. If you have any questions or want to have a discussion about anything you have heard in this podcast or any other podcast, make sure to ask me on Linkleet's Facebook page. If you would like to Twitter us, you can do this at Linkleet47. I'm Corey Koski, and you've been listening to How I Got Here from Linkleet. A special thanks to Wade Beavers, Sean Lee, Jim Koslowski, and Maria Holmes.